Do black people collect guns?
No. We throw them in bushes.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you ever had a question you wanted to ask the opposite race but you were too nervous to ask?
I'm Turner Sparks.
And I'm Phil Duckett.
And this is Black and White Advice,
where we answer all your questions about race, even the scary ones.
This is Black and White Advice.
You've got a question but you're scared to ask. Just drop the boys a message because they're up to the task. They're rolling the dice. They ain't always nice, but you can't think twice.
All right, everybody, welcome to the show. My name's Turner Sparks.
You know, it's the real deal. Feel the thrill. What's going on?
We got Joe the Muscle Russell on the ones and twos behind the glass, turning the knob, switching the dials. How you doing, Joe?
Voice on loan from God.
This is going on 4 weeks now. This Rush
still
Limbaugh
doing a Rush Limbaugh impression. Wait, do the whole thing.
Voice on loan from God.
Hey. This is ridiculous.
Are you familiar with Rush?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Wondering what the fuck's going on.
Joe's a big Rush fan. Oh, I do want to say that we had somebody write in, Eric, out in Sacramento, California. He told me that he works with a woman who's a giant Republican MAGA person and told him the other day that her mom died recently. The bad news is her mom died. The good news is that now she gets to spend eternity with Rush in heaven.
Well, that's MAGA for you.
Rush Limbaugh.
No, that MAGA thrives on that ignorant shit.
And he forgot about it until he heard Joe's impression on the pod.
Rush is in hell.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so I hate to, that might say something about where your mom was at.
We're going golfing with St. Peter.
Let's introduce our fucking guest.
On the show today, we got, oh, this guest, he's absolutely hilarious. Tonight Show, you've seen him on the Tonight Show, Just for Laughs. Were you on The Wire?
I was, actually.
Look at that.
No,
the Wire.
Was, the TV show. Like,
I was on the TV show.
Wait, let me introduce you. LeClerc Andre, everybody. From The Wire. Welcome to the show.
No, I can't use it as a credit card.
The star of The Wire.
I was just on set.
Because I'm like, I watched that pretty.
No, I was casted as the security guard for the mayor.
Really?
Yeah, because I was tall.
Mayor, that, the white guy who's also in Game
of
Thrones.
Yeah,
The Wire came out in 98.
Yeah, yeah. I was still in, like, I was a young dude.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm like, I was in fifth grade. That's what I was like in my head. I'm like,
I didn't even realize it was that old. I think I found it like 10 years later.
Yeah, I was super young. I got to set. They cast me because I was tall. So they just saw they were like, oh, he's a big guy. And then I got there and they saw my face like, this. Too young security for the van.
Too friendly looking.
Yeah.
So you were acting in the 90s?
It wasn't in the 90s. Stop doing that, man.
He said 98.
I think it came out in like 98, though. Real shit. Like,
I know I'm the oldest person in this room, so I don't mind saying this. But so you were like a high school actor?
No, I don't think I was in high school at the time, but I do remember I had no facial hair.
Yeah.
And I've had facial hair from almost most of my life. So I do remember being super young. My suit didn't fit. I was baggy as shit.
You had brought your own suit?
Yeah, I was. I went in character. They were like, yeah. And then as soon as I got to the director, he was like, you're the security? I was like, yeah. He was like, nah.
Not on this show, you're not.
And they just found another big black dude on set. And immediately I got recasted while I was there. Yeah.
So it's recast to what?
They recasted the bodyguard.
Yeah, they just didn't use you. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so they were like, you can just hang out. And I was just there on set. It was the first time I was on.
Cool.
Like, yeah, it was pretty cool.
We're going to have to look that up at the end during dark.
Mayor Carchetti, was that it? I think that was his name.
Your guess is as good as mine.
Wow, yeah. I was going to say, all we know is Avon Barksdale.
Everyone on that show was British, but they pretended like they were from Baltimore.
That's when I first found out that Idris Elba was British, because I saw the behind the scenes. I was like, why is he talking like that?
Not Snoop. Snoop is from Baltimore.
Oh, yeah,
bro.
Yeah.
That was the scariest. Character of all time.
Yeah, she was gangster, the motherfucker.
Yeah, that stapler gun. Come on, now.
Yeah, and she was asking all those questions. Like, bro. It was pretty cool. I ain't gonna lie. I might rewatch that now.
So you were just telling us a little bit off air, but tell our audience. So you were on that show. Was it a week or two ago? At the Comedy Cellar with John Lasseter, a bunch of people I can't remember. who else?
Leslie Jones.
Oh yeah, Leslie Jones.
Yeah.
Who else was on the show?
Chris Rock.
Chris Rock?
Chris Rock was on the show. And some whites.
Nah, yeah!
Some whites.
couple of white people. This was the weekend when they were doing Saturday Night Live's like 50th anniversary. So all these people were in town.
Right. All these people were in town. I knew something was going to be wrong because as soon as I got in there, there was like all these super famous people at the back comics table. And that's usually reserved for just the working comics. But it's like all the working comics were at the table in front of it. I was like, oh my God, there's some.
They were at the JV table. Yeah.
What room is this? The original?
The original. Like,
what do they call
Olive
Tree?
Yeah.
So the upstairs. Yeah, gotcha.
So I get there. I'm early. The show hasn't started yet, but I see all those big faces. I'm like, oh, that's Steve Martin. That's Martin Short. That's John Mulaney. They're just hanging out in the back. And I'm like, I'm either getting kicked off this show or I'm doing like 6 minutes instead of the standard 15. So I go over to the manager and I ask Liz. I'm like, hey, Liz, am I still going on? She's like, yeah, you're going on. Everything's fine. And then she goes, but you might do less time. I'm like, I know what that means. So I go in there. John starts the show. John Lasseter, very funny comedian. And I go up and I start doing my set. I'm trying to like punch a hole through the room.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, you want to destroy.
Yeah,
I'm trying to ruin the show.
Yeah.
Are they
in the room watching or they're upstairs?
No.
Yeah.
So the Olive Tree, the classic room at McDougal is so small that there really isn't any seating
room. Unless
you're
in that little doorway.
Yeah, or even standing room. So everybody who's watching the show, if you can, it's like right outside of the room in the hallway.
Yeah.
So I'm doing my set and that's also where you get the light. That's when you know your time is done. So I'm just doing my set. I'm trying to cook. I get the light at like 6 minutes. I'm like, oh. So I'm like, all right, let me get into some, let me like dismount hard. Let me really get off.
Is this like a 1 minute light, 2 minute light?
It's a 2 minute light.
Okay, so you got enough time to do something.
So I start really going into some material. I'm like trying to land hard. And then as soon as I get that light, I just see the hallway in my peripheral just fill up.
Oh God.
It's just packed in the hallway. I'm like, I can't even see the light coming in from the hallway.
Yeah.
So I'm like, what's going on over there? But I'm trying to do my material. Right. I'm trying to kill it. And then I get off on a big laugh. As soon as I get off, no, John lights me twice.
Oh, you running the light with the famous people.
Does the cellar not have a built-in light?
They do in most of the rooms, but they're at the McDougal, original. They just like light it in the hallway.
It's not a flashlight on your phone.
Yeah, it's not even a red light. It's just like lighting the person standing in the hallway.
Sure. Okay.
So I go up, I get the light, I try to finish strong. I get the light again. I'm like, all right, I'm not finishing fast enough.
Right.
So I finally get off to a good laugh. I get into the hallway, and the first person who says something to me is Steve Martin. He goes, hey, man, it sounds like you really killed it in there. I couldn't hear it, but it sounds like they loved you.
He goes, did you see my light? It was my phone.
He's like, get the hell off stage.
Oh,
but he was like, I couldn't hear it, but they sound like they loved you. And I was like, thanks.
I'll take it.
That's still
really
cool.
Yeah, he was really funny and cool about it. There's something about, like, guys.
Wait,
go ahead.
Did he go next?
Yeah, immediately after me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Sorry.
But there's something about guys from like that era. He was almost regal. I felt like I was shaking hands with Bill Clinton.
He's like a senator or something.
Yeah. He's like not even an entertainer. He's like,
because he's bigger than comedy at this point. Right. You don't even really know him for stand-up unless you were from that era. Like, I know him from movies.
Right.
I didn't know him as a stand-up until
he's
I got
like
older.
Father of the Bride.
Yeah, that's how I remembered him as a kid. You know what I mean? So I get they're saying he's very, has that aura about him. Like, this is somebody.
It's not just a comedian or an actor. It felt like you're talking to a national treasure.
Yeah.
Would we go as far as say he's an A-list celebrity?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
He was, so Saturday Night Live, they were trying to figure out that 50th episode. They've had 50 years of stars on that show. And they were like, who's going to be the one to essentially host it? No one hosts it, but come out first. And they were even saying like, oh, you know what? They can't just get one. There's too many egos. They're going to split it. Like four people will come out together. No, it was just him.
Yeah.
And that means you're the number one of that show for 50 years.
Most impactful person.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
The top of the list.
He was on back in the 70s when it first started.
He never even was on. I looked it up. He was never a cast member. He's just hosted it so many times.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Damn. He was too big to do the show in the 70s.
Yeah.
I guess.
That's pretty sick.
SNL wasn't big enough yet.
Yeah, that's
what I mean. Yeah.
He was like, hey, get y'all weight up first.
Yeah, I'll host it, you know.
He was bigger than like Chevy Chase, Bill Murray, all those guys.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. When A Living Color dies off, hit me up. Like, that's the type of time.
That's the show I wanted to get on. Oh, man. Fuck SNL. No offense. I would love a job. But In Living Color, if I had like both people wanted me, it'd be In Living Color hands down.
Of course.
Yeah.
That's my people. Yeah, so I'm gonna go with them.
Chris Rock left SNL to be on.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I don't think that's a horrible decision, especially depending on what type of humor you have.
Yeah.
Their sketches were way better on In Living Color.
I mean, they just had so much freedom.
There was an era when it was bigger. Like, or at least it was cooler with everyone.
Culturally.
SNL wrote a letter because the Wayne's brother who started it, they said he got a letter from SNL asking him to stop the show. It was too much competition.
Keenan Ivory Wayne?
Yeah, it was too much competition. They were plummeting their numbers.
The cultural impact of that show, bro, was crazy.
I think I was like in 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th grade.
Yeah.
Literally everyone watched In Living Color. Yeah. I don't know anyone who watched SNL. That one era.
I was in kindergarten, and I remember Homie Don't Play That. I
used to always I
used to always go around saying Homie Don't Play That
as a
kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
How was his set?
So Steve, he's such a
like,
pro.
What did he do?
He goes up there. He's there to work out material for SNL 50. So he goes up there. He has his papers in hand. When they introduce a comic, this happens all the time at these shows, and you guys have seen it before. The host will say their name, and the audience will kind of respond to it, but they don't explode until they see their face.
Because they don't believe it. They don't know if they're fucking around.
Like, is this a gag? Is this person doing a character? Yeah. Is this person, it's Steve Martin?
I saw that when they did, Kevin Hart came to New York, and they were like, Kevin Hart, ladies and gentlemen. They were like,
it's Mark
and then
Norman.
Walked in, and it was Kevin.
Yeah.
But they had to see it to believe it. So
when they hear the name, people clap instinctually, and then they process the name. So, like, all right, give it up for Turner. And then, wait, you mean the turn?
It usually explodes like that at country clubs.
And then you see, it's always the head turns. That's when you know it's getting crazy. Like, they say a name, it's like, you say Louis C.K.? And people just start doing that.
They're like,
oh! And then you start reaching for the phone.
It's also a room of like 100 people total, right?
Yeah.
Maybe 110? It's a tiny comedy room.
But it's like you can feel people's body heat. It's
of
like
course.
That tightly packed in. Yeah. So once that first head or that first head turns and you see that like, noise of recognition, it's just a cascading effect that happens throughout the entire room, and people are like, oh, Steve, and people just start going crazy. He doesn't acknowledge any of it.
Really?
He doesn't acknowledge. He's
used to it. This is every time I get called.
But he never does stand up. Like, when's that's my question. Like, what did he do? Because when's the last time he even? It's not like he's a working comic.
But he was doing.
He does tour.
Yeah.
He does tour.
Oh,
Him and Martin Short, they have a touring act that they do together.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Ever since Only Murders in the Building, that's probably when that came back.
But you won't see it at an improv. Like, they're doing.
Yeah,
right. It's a big show.
Yeah.
But he gets up on stage. He has his papers in hand. People are going crazy. He just waits for them to die down. And then usually a lot of comics will say, like, lower your expectations.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Thank you so much. You're so kind.
Famous people hack.
Yeah, they'll do all that. They'll, like, bring the room down. They'll try to settle the room. He does none of that. He just waits for them to settle a little bit. Once they do, he goes straight into his bits on the paper. And I'm just like, what a pro.
Wow, dude. That's cool.
That's different.
Bro.
That's next level. But, I mean, if you've been doing it for 40 years, can anything shake you?
Yeah.
You've seen it all. Well, one thing I do know, transitioning here, that I know about Leclerc that I've always been impressed with. The comedy's great, okay? He is a certified grill master. All right?
Oh, yeah?
I don't know if you know.
Yeah.
Now, I take pride in my grilling. I can grill. This motherfucker is the smoke champ. All right? He can smoke a brisket, a human, a horse.
Where do you grill in New York City?
In my backyard,
You have a backyard?
I wouldn't call it a yard. Sounds like a flex. But
I would.
I didn't realize it was in the house.
I would.
But I have a smoker, man. I have a smoker, and I get that thing going all the time. Yeah.
Do you smoke in this winter or just the summertime?
Come on, man. No days off. No seasons off.
Oh, no days off.
What?
Smoke.
You live
smoke.
Like a suburban lifestyle in New York City.
Very much so, yeah.
I mean, he's a father, got
good
kids.
Good for you.
I mean,
it's mandatory. I move with it. I'm like, I can't get a place, even in New York City. If there's not a space for me to have my smoker, I'm not going to live there.
That's fire.
Wow.
Meanwhile, I was literally grilling on my fire escape about to ruin
somebody.
I thought
you were going to say like Fort Greene Park or something.
No, on my fire escape, I had a baby grill.
Bro.
And my boy was like, what if it goes uneven and just drops hot coals? I'm like, well, somebody scarred. But the steak was well worth it. I'll tell you that. Right? Like, I didn't care about that. And then, I only got in trouble one time. They're like, just take it inside when you're not grilling.
I did a George Foreman out a window one time.
You threw a George Foreman?
No. I like held it out.
To clean it?
Just to get, because there's like the smoke coming out of it or whatever. Mm.
Oh, so you held it?
I literally held it in college.
Fire,
this is like shitty dorm I was living in.
Okay, that's acceptable.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact you're using a George Foreman is unfortunately.
Oh, it was rough. Yeah, what I'm saying is I have no grilling abilities.
I would have done an open flame. Do white people barbecue like that? Do y'all take pride in it?
Yeah. I mean, my dad does.
Okay. Yeah, they just don't season.
Yeah, but, it's just be raw meat on that matter. It's just be raw meat. Ain't clean shit. Ain't seasoned nothing.
The smoke is the flavor, player.
Oh, wait. We do have a question today about meat.
Yeah.
Pause.
Thank you. Hey. Have some respect for me.
Yeah.
So I was like,
should we get to the question?
Yeah, let's get into it.
Wait, I want one last thing. You do colleges?
I do colleges, yeah.
I know it pays well. How does that, do you enjoy it?
Does anybody enjoy college?
I thought you were going to have to say yes. No, I've literally never done them.
Yeah.
Which I'm surprising because you would be the kind of comedian they want, clean, not offensive.
I don't know.
Where you at, little bitch? Like, I don't know.
I make excuses for myself. So I've never had colleges be interested in working with me. Maybe because I talk about, what do you talk about? Because I talk about, most of my stuff's about like my wife and like having it, and like it just doesn't relate. You know what I mean?
My material has never changed. So like a lot of people, they'll curate their material for whatever venue or whatever space they're in. I never really did that. I have to start pivoting a little bit now that so much of my material is about like family life.
Yeah.
And those students are like, what are children?
Yeah, because they haven't been through it.
So. Are they super sensitive though? Do you notice, like, is it like worse than a Brooklyn room?
So the reputation that you hear about college is about them being super sensitive and like they can't take a joke. That part isn't really the student body themselves. That's the admin. The admin, they're the ones like, don't talk about Trent.
The student admin or like their teacher?
Both.
Okay.
Because they're both trying to cover their ass.
Yeah, they just don't want to get in trouble.
Yeah, they don't want to get canceled. They don't want the kids to tell their dad like, hey, I just saw a gay comic. Like, they let the gays in. So
right.
That's where that real pushback as far as content comes. But the kids themselves are not particularly sensitive.
I've heard this recently.
They just don't laugh at much.
Right.
So that might make you feel like if you tell a joke and they're just like, it's like, oh, you think they're being sensitive or you think they're being offended.
They're just like nervous.
They're just scared of each other.
Yeah. They don't. Nobody makes eye contact anymore. They don't talk to people.
Yeah.
We were just saying that a couple weeks ago, I walked by Long Island University, like 8 at night on the way home. Next, the cafeteria is right on the street.
Yeah.
And it was 100 kids in there.
Yeah.
None of them talking to each other in their cafeteria, all on their phone by themselves.
Right.
Which is crazy.
And I'm like, that's where you used to like pick up.
Get
girls,
them hoes.
Like,
you was over there like, hey, I'm going to get that number today.
Like throw food at nerds. Right. What you do whatever you have to do. That's where you live and die.
What year were you and got throw food at nerds?
2000?
Hey, y'all was bullying motherfuckers in college?
Yeah.
The fuck?
Also, a lot of these college events are like in the very beginning of each semester.
So they don't even know each other.
That's what I'm saying. Like most of the tension and conflict that you're feeling is like when you go to a comedy show with the homies, y'all are laughing. You're like, that's crazy. He's a fool, you know?
Yeah.
But if you don't even know the people you're sitting next to, you're afraid to laugh because they're going to judge you about what you're laughing
about. You thought that was funny?
That's right. I can never understand when people go on first dates at a comedy show.
Yeah,
because like, if you're the dude, all right, first of all, I got a buddy who says this all the time. He's like, he's not a comic, but he's like, the last thing I want to be the funniest person on the date.
For sure.
I don't want to go be like, here's people way funnier than me.
Yeah.
But that's the problem. Guys think they're fucking funny and then they're not. So I think this is an escape because they're like, if I can make her laugh, chances are she might let me get some.
Yeah.
Because a way to a woman's heart's through laughter.
But my point is, you're just introducing her to people who are funnier than you.
Oh, that's why I normally fuck them. But,
exactly. So
it's like, let me take this one off your hands there, bucko.
It's the dumbest. No, this is my
point. I got
it
from here.
This is why I would never do it.
Pass that baton, my boy.
Just giving women the fill.
You brought them to the race. I'm going to take him across the finish line, my boy.
I got it. I got a friend who met his wife that way.
Thank you for your service.
Hit me up. I'm doing the heavy lifting here. Dude,
my friend met his wife because another guy took her on a date to his comedy show. And now he's married to her.
Yeah.
Oh, I'd be sick. Yeah. I'd be sick.
My boy paid that 2-drink minimum. 4-drink minimum for both of them.
Damn. So,
and then the second reason is if you laugh at the thing that they don't think they're supposed to laugh at, you know what I mean? You're nervous about what to laugh at the entire time.
Because it feels like an endorsement, right?
It's yeah.
Like I agree with him.
Yeah, that's so funny.
Even if you don't, it's just like, I can find the humor in any situation. But then there was like, no, you agree with him saying
you really think that
trans people aren't people?
Trans.
Yeah.
$100 is.
Well, they said tranny in Congress the other day, so I think we're pretty much scot-free now.
In Congress?
In Congress. When the lady was reading, she was like, and then the trannies, and the lady was like, wow, yeah. The slurs. They were like, director, please tell him. He was like, I'm not well-versed enough in what's offensive in the LGBT.
Oh, he didn't know that word?
Yeah. No, he was like, is it?
Yeah. And the lady was like, that's not my problem. She kept reading. I was like, oh, we're in a different time now.
Yeah,
you can start saying that now freely. We're about to start saying tarred and shit. It's about to get back.
I think that's back.
It is. I say it all the time.
All right. We'll be right back with your black and white advice questions and answers.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, Geico helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with Geico.
Hey, you want to get bonus content, early episodes, and have your questions answered on the show?
Well, then subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/blackandwhiteadvice and subscribe right now.
Do it, and we'll give you a shout out on a future episode.
And I might call you the N-word.
All right, we're back. Question number one comes from, let's go with Andy, 38-year-old white guy in Cleveland, Ohio. This is a follow-up to, I think, 2 weeks ago's episode. He says, one question you answered in the last episode was about using the N-word when singing along to songs. And I was wondering... Welcome to the show, Leclerc.
Yeah, welcome to the show.
Why'd you look at me when you said N-word?
Looked right at me.
And I was wondering if substituting the N-word with the word brother would be problematic. Mm. It has the right number of syllables and not to mess up the beat. It doesn't lose the overall meaning, but although it isn't the N-word, it still kind of feels not okay. If you wouldn't mind speaking for all black people and either approving or denying this request, that would be great.
Well, look, because I answered last week. I want to have the clerk answer first, and I'll throw in any 2 cents that I think.
It seems like there's a lot of options, but go ahead.
Yeah, no, brother doesn't work.
I said ninja last week.
Ninja, you're going to have people say, what'd you say that?
What'd you say?
Ninja real close. Ninja is almost too close to risk it.
Yes.
Yeah.
A little Icarus.
Ninja might not even.
A little Icarus.
Yeah. Ninja might not even like warrant a follow, like a clarifying question. Like you might hear ninja, and I'm like, that was close enough.
And you think you heard it.
Yeah. And you whoop his ass.
And then all of a sudden you get punched in the face, and you don't have time to explain. No. I listened to a podcast. Yeah. They said I could.
They said ninja's okay. They said ninja's
You're
okay.
Already getting beat up.
Imagine he pleading like that. I said ninja. Like famous last words.
Phil Duncan on the Black and White Advice podcast said I could say ninja.
I said ninja's crazy. Brother.
So he asked about brother.
Mm-hmm.
Why does brother not work?
I don't like brother, period. Like
when white people say
when white people are like, what's up, brother? I'm like, why?
What's
on,
up, my brother?
Yeah.
I've heard that and it feels a little more cringe too, because it feels like you're mocking me. Like you're making a mockery out of it. What's good, brother?
Is it or is it white people trying really hard to relate?
It is, but it's way more cringe.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're a real gangster, just replace the N-word with vinegar.
What about person of color?
What about person?
How could you write that in a song?
In a song?
You would butcher the entire flow.
That was Joe's suggestion. I just wrote it down.
That's how you know white people don't care about rhythm.
Yeah. You can just put it
I'm going to add 30 syllables to this part that has two.
How about my neighbor?
Persons of
my neighbor is ridiculous.
Persons of color with attitude. Does that
see? You see how much? That's a mouthful. Yeah. Big pause. Hey,
yeah. What about nephew?
Yeah. What's up, my nephew?
You sound like Snoop.
That's.
Oh, let's see. My nephew. No.
Nephews in Paris.
Yeah, nephews.
Nephews in Paris.
It's a family reunion. Yeah. No, brother. Go. I'm gonna be honest. You like I said yesterday. Do what you want, but do it in your car. Windows up, doors locked. You know, y'all gonna do it regardless. But if you start.
Why are you looking at me? I've made it known to you. I don't say this word.
You're an avatar. You're speaking for the people.
Okay. You mean
anytime
white
I bring
people.
Up white, shit, I was like, and y'all. No, I think
I will say from our YouTube comments that people seem really interested in saying it.
White people love saying
that's
that.
That's what I mean.
Love it.
More now than I realized.
I had a white, I knew a white comedian pissed me off one time. He was doing a joke and he said, I was like, I should really just slap the fucking shit out of you. He was like, it's not Phil. He was like, as a comedian, he was like, I don't understand why I can't make a bit, especially if it's a good bit. I'm like, well, you're not funny enough to make those type of bits, number one. And then so number two is like, I don't really get, he was like, Phil, you telling me I can't use an N-word for a joke is like telling a painter there's a color he can't paint with. I said, are you out of your fucking mind?
Yeah.
That's not the same.
You know what happened? It's that Louis C.K. did it like 15 years ago or something.
Yeah.
And there was an era where he was like just everyone meaning it was all white people's favorite comedian, yeah, right? And so then everyone thought because he did it and then like he just kind of got away with it.
That's the crux of it.
Do you know
he
what
didn't
I mean?
Just do it. He did it. This is before cancel culture. So
yeah,
he did it and it slid.
It slid.
Yeah. It really slid. And everybody was like, huh? You know, culturally, I feel like we all took a beat like, is there no type of backlash? And there wasn't.
There wasn't.
Because he was going to jack off.
And Chris Rock was
like
immediately like backing him up.
Yeah.
I don't know if he was specifically, but in career-wise, Chris Rock was backing him up. So it just kind of went through. And then like a week later at every open mic.
Was it a great joke?
I don't even remember what the joke
was. It
was
a throwaway.
Oh.
Like, so what Louis was doing was the equivalent of like Jordan dunking from the free throw line. And all these open micers were like, well, I don't know how to dribble a basketball yet, but I want to do that.
Yeah.
And it's like, all right, maybe start at the basics.
Gotcha.
What those open mic comics were doing, they were just lowering the rim.
Right.
And also lowering the bar like creatively just to get the ball through the
net. Tripping on their way to the free throw line.
And getting beat up. Ooh. I don't know what the curiosity with that word is. I don't understand why people want it.
Because we make everything cool.
I know that we make it cool, but like the risk and reward for that word
is
so high.
That's the thing, though.
Can I tell
you? The risk is minimal. We ain't slapping the shit out of white people like we used to for saying. There was a time you just wouldn't dare. It was like, this is really dangerous. Now we're like, well, he said it with the A, not an ER. So it's like, and people have gotten real lax.
Yeah, but you only need to get caught once.
Well, all you need is one good ass whooping.
All you need is one good... One good slap.
Yeah. Can I tell you what it is? This is a dark reality.
Yeah.
It's there's white people out there who don't want a black person telling them what they can say and cannot say. That's literally it. And so, and you're like, because you can see it in our comments. Yeah. People are like, you can't dictate what I say.
Right.
That's just it. It could be anything.
You have free will.
And
so do I. Mm-hmm. And that's but they don't realize. You have free will. You can say whatever you want to say. And I can react how I want to react. And so when I dog walk your bitch ass.
That's what needs to happen.
Yeah, I'm not crazy. You know what I mean? But we don't do that. Like, we've gotten really, really nice.
I'm not going to include myself in that weed part, man. I'll still face somebody over the N-word.
Oh, no, I ain't been. Last person called me and I split his head up with a bar stool.
Yeah.
There you go.
At Barfly.
Now we're
on
back.
Third Avenue at a bar. Yeah. I'm talking about put that work
is
on his
head. Is the statute of limitations
out? No, the cops came and everything and they were like, what happened here? I mean, the dude was bleaking blood. The bartender was like, he called Phil the N-word. The cop said, looks like you did your job.
Oh,
and
nice.
Left. White cops.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Here's the question. Next question.
Yeah.
Lawrence in Seattle. This is what I was referencing earlier. I'm a black guy, 35 years old. My question is, why do white people like their steaks rare? My friend group is racially pretty mixed, and the white guys are always eating raw cow that is still bleeding. It's gross.
Oh, what's his name?
Lawrence.
He's Jamaican.
Yeah. Lawrence wants a well-done steak.
Yeah, that's a Caribbean boy.
Is that a thing?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
A lot of my cousins who aren't from... like nice areas.
Yeah.
They're not going to eat anything that's pink.
Mm. That's what this guy was saying.
My cousin was like, I don't need to eat pussy. Why am I going to eat a pink steak? I said, and that says a lot about your relationship.
Yeah.
But like, you know what I mean? Says more than I ever needed to know about why you're always getting broken up with. But this is the truth. I, on the other hand, I'm going to go mid-rare, medium every time.
Yeah, me too.
Matter of fact, I order medium rare because if they fuck it up and overcook it, I'm still at medium. But I prefer medium rare. That's my thing. But a lot of my cousins, they're like, I want well done. And I'm like, I could just feed you my Air Force One and it would taste the same.
You know? Put some A1 sauce on.
Yeah. Oh.
You guys want like a funny take on it? Or you want like a historic? Like, because I can give you guys
Give us everything.
So there. Awesome. We talk about meat.
We're talking about. Give us
it's
everything.
It's going to be so many pauses.
Rare meat.
No, so there was a lot of. So my family's from Haiti, so we're from the Caribbean.
Nice.
And we just, it's just something that for the longest time, like, oh, you have to get your steak well done, you have to get your meat well done.
Oh, really?
But it also comes from, like, domestically in America, oftentimes you had to make sure you cooked all of your food thoroughly through and through, because we were also not, we didn't have access to the best quality meats as well.
Back in our...
Yes, historically, we didn't have access to the freshly cut beef, right? So if you didn't make sure you cut it thoroughly, then you're running the risk of eating old meat that probably has bacteria that will make you sick. So if you risk it with older meat, then that sounds so... There's so many pauses in this episode. But you're taking a gamble with your health, with the hygiene of the meat. So that's oftentimes why they couldn't afford to risk eating it at these lower temperatures.
And then people just got used to the taste?
They didn't get used to the taste. It's the only taste that they knew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you've been eating cereal your whole life, when it's soggy and somebody gave you some like crunchy cereal, like, let this marinate for a little bit, right? So we're culturally just accustomed to eating. That's the texture that we're familiar with. So it just makes sense to us.
Okay.
But if you're introduced to both of them early enough, then you can of course compare objectively and be like, oh, I actually prefer a medium or I prefer a medium rare.
Yeah.
That's why I need you here. I wouldn't have been able to articulate.
Yeah. That's what I was gonna say.
Yeah, I was like, that was wow.
Yeah. But again, like a medium steak is, when people talk about how good medium and medium rare steak is, they're not talking about specifically the flavor. They're talking about the bite, the texture. It's not as chewy. It's not as tough because you've been cooking it for so long.
Yeah.
So when you cook it for that, when you cook it, especially a good cut of steak, come on, bro.
I had a dry aged ribeye from Whole Foods a couple weeks ago. That motherfucker was so good. It took me like, I couldn't eat it in one sitting. As a matter of fact, I cut it, then I ate it like 4 hours later. It was just, that's the best. And when you cook it perfect, you can reheat it and it's still not overdone. Yeah. Oh, that's the best.
Because all the fat hasn't rendered out of it. Yeah, you still
So we're all medium rare here.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
We're all classy. Yeah.
All right, Lawrence.
Yeah, Lawrence, sorry, buddy.
Yeah.
Shot down. All right, next question. Morten in Denmark.
The country
of Denmark.
You get international with these questions. I see you, boy.
He says, I've never been to America, but I consume your TV and movies all my life. I guess for all my life. My question is, who likes guns more, white people or black people?
Wow.
That's a hardcore.
That is a hardcore question. Because I actually,
from an outsider perspective, it might be hard to tell.
That's not a hard question at all.
Who likes guns more is the question. Likes. My own white people, like 35
white people love guns.
Yeah. Yeah.
White people collect guns.
Yeah, that's true. That's what I'm saying. My uncle
guns that won't even shoot.
Yeah.
Do black people collect guns?
No.
They're all.
There's no like.
We throw them in bushes.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's how little we care about our guns.
These are throwaways.
There's no gun case.
No.
Gun rack.
Not unless you want to get the electric chair. All them guns got bodies on them.
We use guns like disposable cameras. Like once we get the shot, we toss in that shot, bro. I should have wrote that down.
That is phenomenal. Yeah. That is so good. Yeah. Once we get this shot, we
getting rid of that. Are we wiping it?
All it right, is man. When you watch the Olympics, the gun, the American gun, it's all white guys.
Yeah.
The shotgun competitions and stuff.
It's a sport for you. That's how we know y'all love guns. You guys made it a sport. You love guns. Black people, it's a necessity.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah.
It's
just a means.
Yeah. It's like your wallet. You know what I mean? Like you're just going to keep it on you. But you don't.
What about this? Who's carrying, just right now in America, which race is carrying a gun more?
You ain't been down south long.
Oh, yeah.
White people.
They're white people.
I mean, both, but white people, they are way more unapologetic because only white people can walk down the street holding their AR-15 and a cop be like, he's not shooting it. If they see us with a gun, they're drawing their guns. That's just how that goes. So it's different. Like I said, it's a necessity with us, but with white people, it's more of like, it's like, I don't know. I think it's like showing off their wealth. Like, you know, guns are expensive.
I know white people who will tell you, like in the middle of a story, they're like, I had to check my gun. Like they take a flight with a gun. Oh. They won't even need, they're going on a business trip or something.
Yeah.
I've actually heard this exact story. The guy's like, I was going on a business trip. You know, you can't bring a concealed weapon into Pennsylvania.
Right.
Yeah. I got off the flight in Philly. They were like, you can't have a gun. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
You know, white people love their guns because they'll tell you the specs. like this is a 22 gold chrome, and it's like all
Smith, oh, they collect, Smith like and Wesson meat.
Hey, I don't know meat specs. All right, let's clean specs. That up.
All
right,
you're just telling us all about the specs. Of the
I'm not gay no more.
Porter hat.
I'm delivered.
I like women's women. Nah, but the meat specs is crazy. Nah, but it's true. Like I feel like culturally, white people are like, oh yeah, what type of pistol you got? Oh yeah, 22 or 45.
Well, look at this beauty I just.
Do black people ever talk about the Second Amendment as like a big thing to, you know, that you can't
right
take
to
my
bear
gun
arms?
Away?
Yeah. That's not our amendment.
That's not our amendment. The law was not written for black people.
Yeah. I'm just wondering, do people talk? So no the answer never. Is no. Only, I hear it at dinner conversations. I wouldn't say
the
all
NRA,
the time,
that's all they talk about. It's just, this is my God-given right.
Yeah.
Black people know we ain't got no God-given
rights.
Is
God
rights.
Involved in guns for you guys?
No.
Is it a God-given? Is that just
we pray that we make it home? Yeah, I mean that's about it. Pray this gun get me home for the night. But
like our relationship with firearms is directly tied to like our relationship with safety. Like we when black people talk about like I never leave home without it because I always want to come home. So that's when people's relationship with guns when in the black community. White people like brandish firearms.
Well, it's a sport, as you said. You got hunting and
they're like, hey, what you got?
Let me
see. Hold that thing, feels good.
Yeah.
How's the kickback on that?
High school party. Somebody always gets other dad's gun.
Let's
do shots.
Put them on the wall. Put them on the wall is crazy, bro. Ours are under the mattress in a safe.
Couches.
Man. It's just a different. The relationships with guns are just so different.
No. All right, Morton. So the answer, I guess, is white people. If the
white
question
people,
being who,
easy.
Who loves guns more?
Yeah. Easily. Who uses them more? That's a different
I was literally going to say that. Who busts their gun more? Probably us. But has them?
Who looks better shooting it?
You're right.
We do.
All right, next question. This is from Lauren in San Diego, California. She said, I've always wondered. These questions are crazy this week. She goes, did black people really think OJ was innocent, or was that just the early days of trolling?
At the time that it happened, I think black people might have had an inkling that he did it, but you have to understand Rodney King had just gotten his ass beat by them white cops. So wasn't nobody gonna side with white people on that. And they were like that. Fuck that white lady. The way they beat us, this is why they couldn't really empathize with her because the Rodney King incident was just such a crazy thing. The riots, I think it just happened. So white versus black was a major problem. Like black people were not fucking with white.
So
people
no matter
like who did it,
who he killed,
it could anybody white. It was a victory in our eyes. So
that's
you know what
wild.
I mean? Yeah. So
no, it wasn't him just killing them that we were celebrating. That wasn't.
That's what you just made it sound like.
He was like, yeah, we got one victory. We got away. No, that's not. I don't think that's
plus
what.
Plus the waiter. Plus that guy.
Yeah.
I think like the real celebration was, I think the temperature, what you talk about the Rodney King, what happened with Rodney King, there was also like riots happening.
Yeah, the LA riots, right?
It was crazy. It was really, really tense. And also it felt like black people culturally were just taking L after L after L, right?
Yeah.
So when what happened to Rodney King, when that went nationwide, I feel this is before the settlement, by the way. He got paid, and the cops got off. Yeah, he got paid
Rodney
for
King,
it.
Rodney King, I think, was 92. OJ was 94.
Right.
Yeah. And the riots were right after Rodney King, obviously, for like a few weeks.
It was the bridge to OJ.
Right, but the tape came out way before. We didn't know if he was going to win. We didn't know if it was going to be enough. We didn't know if there's going to be consequences for the police officers. So it's like, damn.
For Rodney King.
Yeah, for Rodney King. We're like, damn, they're getting away with anything. Because if that wasn't recorded, we all understand.
That was happening everywhere, but it would have kept
going. And there were no consequences, am I right?
They
I'm
got
trying
off,
to remember.
But he got the settlement years later. But they got them cops when got off. For that.
Yeah, they didn't go to prison.
They just went to a different precinct.
So then the black community, you're saying, connected OJ. That he was black and killed a white person.
No, it's just that there's this overwhelming feeling that justice didn't exist for black people in America.
So it shouldn't exist for white people.
And I think some
black
people.
No, it's not
people.
That it shouldn't exist, but we, up until that point, I think there was a feeling in America that, like, the chances of us getting justice, the chances of, like, the government and the system working in our favor just wasn't likely. It wasn't going to happen. So we're all watching this trial take place, and we're thinking, all right,
there's
OJ
no
about to get locked up. We never get off. The system is broken. everything is unfair. But
he, and he proved it right. The system was broken.
But OJ,
because he was clearly.
But OJ
guilty.
Isn't Rodney though. That's the thing right. that people yeah. people conflate the two. Like, oh, Rodney King. Nobody knew who Rodney King's only famous because he got beat up.
Yeah.
OJ was famous for years I mean, and was retired name. For years.
A household white name.
Yeah.
White people love the juice.
Exactly. Yeah. So we're not just rooting for a stranger. Like with Rodney King, we were hoping that this because Rodney King represented all black men. He was a faceless. Non-famous black person who something terrible happened to. So we was like, when he didn't get justice, or if they got away with it, we would understand. Like, yeah, if that happened to me, they would get away with it as well.
Yeah.
But now we have the Juice Man, somebody we've all rooted for, somebody that we were wearing his jersey. He's now getting prosecuted.
Yeah, like, but he was clearly guilty.
He was clearly guilty. If you're watching the trial, we don't watch trial.
There you go.
So we just heard the story. Okay. Like he didn't kill that
white
lady.
Most white people are like, we saw him in a Bronco. We're like, run, nigga. Like that's all we thought.
Dude, I remember in science class they were teaching us about the DNA.
Yeah.
Because there was the double helix and all that. Yeah. That's where we learned about DNA.
Yeah.
And it was through his trial, and they were like, there is a 99.99999% chance this is him.
Yeah.
And the other theory, they were like, it's either him or it's his son. That because they share the same DNA.
Have you heard the son theory?
The son theory is wild.
It's fascinating. That's his own episode.
How old is his son?
He would have been like 18 at the time. He was from a previous marriage.
But there's a storyline behind that that ties him. They say the evidence is stronger for his son being the murderer.
The son did it and OJ covered it for him.
Yeah, but it's a crazy story. You should watch it.
I saw wait, there's a documentary on it?
On YouTube. There's so much.
Oh, I have a son one.
Yeah, that's... Oh, that 30 for 30, when I saw that, when I saw that and they showed the body and the stab, I said, he fucked her. He fucked her up. Like, that's a rage.
But isn't it wild that in my 7th grade science class, they were teaching us science based off the OJ trial? That's how big of a trial it was.
You were in an all-white town in California.
I was. Yeah. No. Bill Cartwright lived there.
One ex-NBA player.
He had just retired from the Chicago Bulls. And, we watched it in class. Did you guys watch the trial? I mean, the verdict in class.
I don't remember where I was.
I don't either. I 94, I was 6. So I just remember, watch my dad watch, and he was like, that man got off.
Yeah.
I was crazy. That man got off.
By the way, not all black people celebrated. The ones that they televised, it was like niggas jumping
on TV.
In the street. That
was
like
the
different.
Knicks winning the championship.
It was crazy.
Because a lot of black people saw him get away with it and were like, it was very much like,
somebody wants to pay for this.
Like he got away with it, but it's going to be bad for black people moving forward.
And I was impressed, I think, but then when he went to jail 15 years later for stealing his own Heisman Trophy, I said, if I'd have beat a brutal murder like that, you couldn't get me to jaywalk. Mm-mm. And your dumbass went and robbed somebody. Like, we don't know the Juice Man. You were one of the most famous people on this planet.
Even worse.
Stealing his own Heisman. Right.
Even worse, he wrote a book saying...
If I did it, that was the craziest thing I remember. I remember seeing that book and I was like, that seems dumb. My mom was like, well, Double Jeopardy, they can't retry him. I'm like, but that's like antagonizing
them. Yeah, but they got him on... They put 8 years for stealing a Heisman.
Yeah, which was... I was like,
basically, they got him for the murder.
You're going to have to sit here for something.
Yeah.
Do you think he would have had a better life overall if he just went to... If he did get convicted and then got out like 15 years later?
Hell no.
Do you know what I mean?
Hell no.
Because his life seemed to suck after that.
It did, but you have to understand he would have went to jail for murder.
Yeah.
It wouldn't have been 15. He would have got life.
And two people. That's
right. The lover was there too. Yeah, he got life, if not the needle.
The waiter.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
You know his thing? His family was... He said he was just there. Mm-hmm. The waiter was just there delivering. She forgot her jacket.
Yeah, he was delivering all right.
Yeah. Prison's different for violent offenses. Like murderers, that's way than stealing something. That's a different sentence, bro.
But he would have been treated like a king. Let's be honest. In prison, he would have been fine.
Did I tell you the time I saw
him? Aryan race would have found him.
They would have, but I think it would have been a race war because the brothers were like, y'all ain't touching Juice.
He would have been protected.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Murder's like the what you want to be in prison. If you're going to go to hard prison, you don't want to be in there for parking tickets. I'll tell you that. Yeah. You want murder on your rap. For sure. Yeah.
I saw him at a concert one time.
OJ?
OJ.
What concert?
It was the Marley Festival in Miami. Like the Marley family
did
a yearly festival. All the kids, you know, have their own bands and stuff. And then Bunny Wailer's there from the Wailers. And then the whole festival, all day long, they're like, we're going to have, at the end of the show, everybody stick around. We got a special guest coming out to introduce the final band, which was the Wailers, like the surviving member of the Wailers.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't announce who it was, Finally, at the very end, it's OJ.
Oh, did they boo?
No, it was me and all black people. Everyone went nuts. They loved him. They was like, yeah!
This but what'd probably, you do, yeah, Turner?
I was clutching pearls of other people.
He's a serial killer.
I was like, what? It was me and my one Jewish friend, Andrew Unterman. And then standing next to us was Lennox Lewis.
Oh.
We're just in a field, standing there in a field.
Yeah. With black people. There's two white men.
Yeah, and he was like, I'm Overseers. Jewish, so I'll be fine, or whatever. You know.
I'm Jewish. I'll be fine.
That's what he was saying.
The arrogance of that statement. I'm Jewish. We're brothers.
It's like, you got to get out of here. And so then, they bring out the placement banana. Everyone loved him. They were like, yeah. And then he introduced the Wailers, and I was like, that was probably 2002.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow. That's when it really struck. I was like, wow,
Phil, there's an old lady at my wedding, like sitting in the back. I don't know if you ever noticed her, but that's my wife's aunt Dottie, and her husband was best friends with OJ.
Hey.
Really?
All right. That's it, everybody. Patreon subscribers, stick around. We didn't even pump the Patreon this week. But you guys, go to patreon.com/blackandwhiteadvice. Join the party. We do bonus content every single week on that show. And we're about $100 away or less at this point from sending Phil to his first punk rock concert. We're going to film the whole thing.
I'm going in a
Phil's
going
to stage dive, jump in a mosh pit, and it'll go out exclusively to our Patreon subscribers. And if you're a Patreon subscriber, stick around after the music. We got bonus show with Leclerc. Now, Joe, White Lies and Dark Truths. What did we get right? What did we get wrong this week?
Well, you guys are talking about Steve Martin. He has hosted SNL 16 times.
Wow.
And the only person that's done it more is Baldwin. Alec Baldwin did 17.
But he had that murder thing he was trying to beat, so they probably couldn't have him. Was he at the 50, I wonder?
I doubt it.
He's probably not making public appearance. Anyway.
Back to beef. Beef usually only gets bacteria on the surface of the meat cut. That's why as long as you sear the beef surface, you should be good. But ground beef is a little bit more dangerous because grinding it up, you massively increase the surface area.
Yeah, well, I can assure you they weren't feeding us ribeyes. It was chitlins and cow uteruses and shit. So you need to cook that through.
Yeah.
And the last thing, I looked up, gun ownership is most common among white men.
Boom.
With 36% of whites report that they own guns.
Yeah.
And about 24% of blacks.
Also, black people can't report. We own them because they're
all ask us.
We're felons. Ex-felons can't have guns. So they're like, no, I ain't got no weapons. Yeah.
15% of Hispanics say they own a gun. And so I just
50%?
15.
Oh, I was
like, build
they
that
nailed
one.
Us.
50%.
50 is wow. That's crazy. Like flip a coin.
It was like a war's coming.
Yeah. I did a little math. I'm terrible at math, so people can probably fact check me. But if there's 212 million white people in the United States, so 36% of them, that is 76 million white gun owners, and there's only 41 million black people, so there's almost double the white gun owners than there are black people.
Right.
Oh, just human beings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
White people running this gun shit.
There you go.
Hey, man, every time I hear about a race war, listen, this is it's not gonna feel fair, man.
Yeah, it's not.
Yeah, that's those numbers are crazy,
that
by
is.
The way.
That's
man.
A lot of guns. 71 million.
My uncle has 35.
Yeah, see?
And it's the first thing he shows you when you go
even
to his house.
Even the most strapped up brother I know has maybe 4 or 5 tops.
You got 2 trigger fingers.
Right. 30.
Like, what are we talking about? That's so crazy, bro.
All right, that's the show, everybody. Everybody, Patreon subscribers, stick around. Everybody else, stay black.
Yes, sir.
You've got a question, but you're scared to ask. Just drop the boys a message, cause they're up to the task. They're rolling the dice, they ain't always nice, but you can't think twice and get it. Black and white advice. Black and white advice.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.